You're tuned to WFHB
91.3
and 98.1 FM.
Volunteer powered,
listener supported.
Community radio for South Central Indiana.
Welcome to WFHB's Daily Local News.
Written and produced entirely by volunteers from the Bloomington community.
And supported by the generosity of listeners like you.
Good afternoon from the studios of Community Radio 91.3 FM. Reporting live for WFHB, this is Barbara Fuqua.
And I'm Scott Weddle. This is the Daily Local News for Wednesday, October 25th, 2017.
Oriented. We've done everything we can to give back to the meat community, whether it's fundraising or donating or just giving a place to host things for people.
The Pine Room Tavern has been a landmark in Nashville, Indiana for nearly 70 years. We'll speak with the Pine Room Muddy Boots Cafe manager, Richard Gist, about next month's closure of the restaurant and live music venue. That's coming up on today's community report.
Also coming up in the next half hour, is it true love or is it a scam? There are a lot of people out there that are looking for love and a lot more that are looking for money. Love and security scams, what you need to know and how to protect yourself. On a new edition of our Consumer Watchdog segment, Better Beware. But first, your daily headlines.
The Ellettsville Town Council approved a tax break for the developers of a housing project scheduled to replace the Lindsay Hayes Trailer Park on State Road 46 in Ellettsville. The project, dubbed Governor's Park, is to provide 90 one- and two-bedroom apartments for low-income seniors. Speaking in the town council's meeting on Monday, Public Works Director Kevin Delatti said the project will provide the town income even with a 10-year property tax abatement.
Okay, so it would be a 10-year abatement starting at 100% in year one, winding down to 50% in year six through 10, after which the town would receive full taxes. Estimated investment is $10.8 million, although it may actually be a little higher than that.
Talati says the project will revive an area of Ellettsville that has become blighted. The Lindsay Hayes Trailer Park currently sits on the site of 5665 West State Road 46. It once held 70 mobile homes, but that number has dwindled to 30.
There's definitely a need for senior housing, as everyone's demonstrated. And if you look at the senior housing complexes we have now, all, I think, five of them are tax-exempt properties that we essentially get nothing from. This would be something that would provide for the years to come for the town. And it's not to say that we couldn't get a different something else developing in Lindsay Hayes, but more than likely, I think this might be the best we have for quite a while.
The housing project is located on existing rural transit routes. Rural Transit is a transportation service run by Area 10 Agency on Aging. Yvonne Delgadillo of Developers Allied Real Estate Partners says she expects the new development will easily reach its 150 resident capacity given the wait lists at Richmond Apartments and the Bloomington Housing Authority. Delgadillo says the tax abatement is an important component of the developer's application for state and federal low-income housing tax credits.
The 9% tax credits are actually a very competitive process throughout the state. They require a lot of local support, state support, and regional support.
Delgadillo says once financing is in place, developers will begin construction next May. In the council vote, council member Brian Mobley was the only member to vote no. Mobley said tax abatements are meant for businesses that bring more jobs to the area than the senior housing development will bring. In other business, Ellettsville Town Manager Jim Davis has resigned his position effective January 3rd. In a written statement, Davis says he did not want to work past the age of 70, and he turns 70 at the end of this month.
Indiana Governor Eric Holcomb's office is introducing an informational website to combat opioid use within the state. The website, in.gov/recovery, is an information landing page for state resources to combat addiction. The governor's office says the website is meant to give local communities and families resources and plans to stymie the epidemic. Information regarding health care options, potential treatments for addiction, laws regarding opioid use, news on the epidemic and state action, law enforcement data and opioid prevention tools can be found on the website. IN.gov/recovery was launched at the beginning of the month by the governor's office. The move comes as conservative politicians in the state begin to turn away from needle exchange programs. Advocated by current Surgeon General of the United States and Indiana State Health Commissioner Jerome Adams, and approved by then-Governor Mike Pence, needle exchanges have been found by the World Health Organization and American Medical Association to reduce the contraction of HIV through intravenous drugs. Although conservative lawmakers, including Lawrence County Commissioner Rodney Fish and Indiana Attorney General Curtis Hill, have called into question the benefits of needle exchange programs, no data has proved conclusive that needle exchanges contribute to a rise of substance abuse. After Lawrence County canceled its existing needle exchange program last week, Attorney General Curtis Hill issued a press release which stated, quote, "Handing out clean needles encourages substance abusers to shoot up, and in many cases shoot up more often," unquote. Needle exchange programs, like that formerly operated by the Indiana Recovery Alliance in Lawrence County, which includes Bedford, also offer counseling, HIV and hepatitis C testing, and exchange used syringes, which can become dulled by use and increase the risk of infection to users, for clean ones. In the press release referencing the state's new opioid resources website, Governor Holcomb stated, quote, "I am committed to using a comprehensive data-driven strategy so that we can address gaps in the system and stop the current trajectory in Indiana," unquote. The website offers information and ways to help fight against substance abuse. That website, again, is IN.gov/recovery.
The Indiana State Senate Agriculture and Natural Resources Study Committee heard from opponents of confined feeding operations during its meeting October 19th. Confined feeding operations, also known as factory farms, are under study by the state due to the increased concern from Indiana communities about runoff and air pollution. The goal of the Natural Resources Study Committee is to determine whether or not state laws adequately protect Indiana communities from factory farm waste. Factory farm waste could impact property values, tourism revenues, community health, and residents' quality of life. Hoosier Environmental Council Senior Staff Attorney Kim Ferraro recommended fixes to what she perceives as gaps in Indiana regulations regarding factory farm operations. According to Ferraro, these farms can create environmental and respiratory problems for community members. She says under the current law, the farms are not as regulated as they should be. Ferraro believes the permits should be revoked on farms that do not meet current requirements.
The hearing on October 19th was actually a public hearing that was convened by the legislature, and specifically a legislative interim study committee, was commissioned last legislative session by Senator David Long, President Pro Tem of the Senate, to take a look at how Indiana is regulating confined animal feeding operations in our state, and specifically with respect to IDEM, Indiana Department of Environmental Management regulation of CAFOs.
Earlier in the year, the Indiana Department of Environmental Management and the Indiana Department of Agriculture discussed the possible benefits of regulating and adapting stronger laws on confined feeding operations, factory farm locations, and waste management to Indiana's economy. Ferraro says a community workshop will be held November 4 from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Noblesville Community Public Library to discuss the effects of factory farm pollution on Indiana communities.
Plans for an affordable housing development at 1901 South Rogers Street in Bloomington are moving forward. The Bloomington Board of Park Commissioners approved a development proposal for Switchyard Apartments from South Central Indiana Housing Opportunities during their meeting yesterday. Parks Director Paula McDevitt says in developing plans for the Switchyard Park, the city determined it didn't have a use for the South Rogers Street parcel. The City Council approved the rezoning of the parcel in August, designating it a high-density, multifamily residential area.
From there, once we received that approval, we issued an RFP in late September seeking proposals for the development of an affordable housing property. And I can tell you that South Central Indiana Housing Opportunities was the only proposal that was received. We have reviewed the proposal, and they met all the requirements and the criteria in the RFP.
McDevitt says the city is drafting a 99-year lease under which South Central Housing Opportunities will rent the property for $1 per year.
We will outline that they will be responsible for the demolition of the current house that is on that parcel. They will essentially be 100% responsible for this parcel and the build-out and the management of the affordable housing project once it is built.
In the written proposal, SIHO Executive Director Deborah Meyerson says her organization will build the Switchyard Park apartments in two phases. The complex will provide 16 units for low-income families, including 3 units designed for people with disabilities. The apartment complex will provide 16 parking spaces, but its location, just 2 blocks from Bloomington Transit routes, means residents won't necessarily have to have a car. Reporting live for WFHB, I'm Barbara Fuqua.
And I'm Scott Weddle. Support for WFHB and the Daily Local News comes from Smithville Fiber, a local provider of internet, voice, and TV service, now also offering home automation and security systems for homes and offices throughout South Central Indiana. More information on Smithville's home automation service available at smithvillesecurity.com.
After nearly 70 years, the Pine Room Tavern in Nashville, Indiana, is closing its doors. A staple for Brown County artists and residents, the Pine Room was combined with Muddy Boots Cafe in 2015 when current owners Betsy and James Oblak combined the businesses. As WFHB News Director Wes Martin reports, the combined businesses are for sale, but will close on November 11th. Speaking with Wes Martin is Richard Gist, current manager of Pine Room Muddy Boots Cafe, in today's community report.
Richard, could you tell me a little bit and tell our listeners a little bit of the history of the Pine Room and then also Muddy Boots as they were separate when they came together and what you see happening right now?
Well, the Pine Room itself has been around since 1949, and it's had many different owners in that time period. And recently in 2012, Betsy and James O'Black purchased it and turned it into what it is now. Betsy and James also purchased the Muddy Boots Cafe, I believe it was in 2009, if I'm correct, and had the cafe there in Nashville. And 2 years ago, we renovated the Pine Room, we added on, we doubled the size, and we moved the Muddy Boots over to the same location, take 2 entities and made them into one so we could focus our efforts in one place. And it's currently for sale, both businesses as one is for sale, and we're looking forward to somebody purchasing the place and starting a new era for the community.
And could you talk a little bit about the significance of both the Pine Room and Muddy Boots? It's my understanding that both of these establishments have really been kind of entities or anchors to the Nashville Brown County community. Could you speak a little bit about that?
Yeah, really both places, individually and as they are now together, have been 100% community oriented. We've done everything we can to give back to the Meek community, whether it's fundraising or donating or just giving a place to host things for people. Betsy and James are great about the artistry in the area, and they love to give back to the artists, whether it's music art or or visual arts or literature arts, whatever it is, they're all about supporting people in the community. I don't remember the second part of your question, though. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, you're fine. I'm kind of just wondering, why is it that that they're selling? After successfully operating this business for an extended period of time, why would somebody give up on that?
Well, I don't know that they gave up, but they're both getting older, and they've got grandchildren and children that are all across the country and across the world, and they're ready to spend time with their family and not have to spend their day-to-day lives locked into one location. And that's the main reason for the sale. They were hoping, it's been for sale since April, and they were hoping that somebody would have purchased it before now. But now we're going to be going into the wintertime and the slowest part of the year for the restaurant. And I believe they just decided, instead of trying to spend the winter here and keep it rolling, they'll close the doors and still have it for sale, but they'll be able to enjoy life afterwards.
And the doors for the Pine Room and Muddy Boots end up closing here pretty quick. This is in a couple of weeks, is that right?
Yeah, November 11th, we'll have a big celebration all day with music, with Flatland Harmony, the Indiana Boys, and we'll have a community jam that evening. And we officially close at midnight the 11th and the 12th. So we will not be open on Sunday the 12th.
And Mr. Giss, is there anything else that you think listeners need to know, particularly our listeners out in Brown County, need to know about the Pine Room or Muddy Boots?
Well, I think it's pertinent for them to know that Betsy and James themselves, the owners, and all of the staff here really appreciate the support they've given us over the past 6 to 9 years that she's owned both places, and that it's really heartaching for her to do what she's doing here, but she understands that something better is going to come along for the community and the employees, and someone's going to take this thing and they're going to make it even better than it already is. So she just wants to send thanks and gratitude to all the people out there.
And can I just ask, were employees or were you notified that this selling or that they were looking for a new owner, or of the fact that Pine Room Muddy Boots was going to close? Were employees notified of that fact before yesterday's announcement?
Yeah, the employees have known that the place has been for sale since last February or March, and they were all notified before the public that we were going to close the doors on the 11th.
So this shouldn't necessarily be a surprise to anybody, and they should have had plenty of time in order to kind of get out and keep their heads above water. Is that correct? Is that your opinion of this?
Yes, that is correct.
All right, Richard, thank you very much for speaking with us. I really appreciate you taking the time. Any last comments or anything that you personally want to say?
Well, I personally appreciate WFHB. They've done a lot for us as a company in the past years, and appreciate the community coming together as many times as they have in our establishment to help other people in the community. It's great to live in a community where everybody has everybody's back.
Richard, yes, thank you very much for speaking with us. Manager of the Pine Room Muddy Boots, and good luck out there. What's next for you?
I'm going to enjoy my family time while I can as well, and I'll be looking for new things to do for my career.
All right, wonderful. Thank you very much for speaking with us, and good luck out there.
Thank you very much, Wes.
That was Pine Room Tavern and Muddy Boots Cafe manager Richard Gist speaking with WFHB News Director Wes Martin about the November closure of the Brown County landmark.
The Daily Local News is brought to you by MPI Solar, a Bloomington business specializing in solar hot water, solar electricity, and solar hot air systems. MPI Solar designs and installs solar power generation systems that encourage independence and individual responsibility. Found locally at 812-334-4003 and on the web at mpisolarenergy.com.
Up next, our weekly consumer watchdog segment, Better Beware.
Welcome to a brand new edition of Bloomington Beware, WFHB's weekly consumer watchdog, with current advisories and hints designed to help keep your head out of the clouds, your feet on the ground, and your money in your pocket.
Back in the 60s, there was a hit song called Crystal Blue Persuasion, and I was never quite sure what that meant. But today, it's time for another installment in our classic scam series, and we're going to look at some kinds of persuasion that can make you feel not only blue, but seriously poor. Persuasion cons are another very, very old kind of swindle, but these days it can look brand new, so watch out. A persuasion con game is one where the swindler tries to persuade you of something, something which apparently has nothing to do with money. Once you're convinced of whatever it is, the money angle enters the picture as a coincidence, something unintended and unplanned. That way you don't suspect that the whole game was set up to get to the money. One classic gambit is the sweetheart swindle, or maybe you can call it the Casanova con. It's simple, and it's worked for countless centuries. The swindler develops a relationship with you, convinces you, even if it takes a long time, that it's true love, and then disappears with your money. Persuading you that he or she is in love with you is much easier done from a distance. Letters, third parties, telegrams, and phone calls have been the most popular methods. And then your distant emirata suddenly needs money to settle a debt, to get out of jail, or simply to travel and be with you forever. So you cough up. After all, how could someone who loves you want to hurt you? Well, today, of course, the internet dating sites and the beauties of email and Twitter and IM, etc., have given the sweetheart swindle a huge boost, and that trend is likely to continue. More and more con artists are discovering that they can work more suckers at once than ever before. Now, another classic persuasion scam turns that idea on its head. The scammer persuades you not that you're loved, but that you're cursed. Okay, this might bring on visions of a fake gypsy fortune teller staring into her crystal ball and promising to help you if you will cross her palm with silver. Something very much like that was doubtless popular way back before Egyptians first noticed the Nile River and is still practiced today among the superstitious. But in the age of computers, this scam has roared back to life worldwide, and you may have already fallen for it. Ever see a pop-up on your screen telling you your computer is infected with a virus and asking you to click here to clean it? If you click that link, you probably will end up with an infected computer, and you could lose your personal info along the way. That's the small end, and it goes up from there. In 2004, a company called Datalink Computer Products persuaded one wealthy sucker that his computer was infected and it was a direct plot against him personally. They kept charging him for additional security services, and by the time he twigged to the truth in 2010, he had forked over millions of dollars. So let's review. A persuasion con game depends on persuading the sucker, and I hope it won't be you, that something is true when it really isn't. This can be something very good or something very bad, but in either case, it's something you can't or probably won't check out yourself. And it doesn't appear to have anything to do with money at first. So anytime anybody, especially someone you've just met, tries to persuade you, check out what they're saying yourself if you can. And if you can't, be skeptical.
Bloomington Beware is produced in cooperation with the Central Indiana Better Business Bureau. The phone number for the Indianapolis office is 317-488-2222. Or you can reach them online at indiebbb.org. For WFHB News and Public Affairs, I'm Richard Fish, reminding you that swindlers never give a sucker an even break.
You've been listening to the Daily Local News on WFHB. Today's headlines were written by Alex Davis, Wes Martin, and Jonah Chester, along with Sarah Vaughn for Cats Week in partnership with Community Access Television Services. Better Beware was produced by Richard Fish. Our feature was produced by Wes Martin.
Our engineer today is Dan Withard. Our theme music provided by The Impossible Shapes. Executive producer is Wes Martin. For WFHB, this is Scott Weddle.
And I'm Barbara Fuqua. Thanks for supporting Indiana's only volunteer-powered, listener-supported independent daily news program. Recognized among the best newscasts in 2016 by the Indiana chapter of the Society of Professional Journalists.
You can be a part of our award-winning news team. Send inquiries to news@wfhb.org. Stay tuned now for Standing Room Only, our award-winning weekly lecture series, coming up next on WFHB.
The Daily Local News is produced by a staff of over 50 volunteers
working in the WFHB News and Public Affairs Department.
Comments, suggestions, and story ideas
may be submitted directly to our news staff via email.
The address is news@wfhb.org.